Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
alignment of Satan regime.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah ar-Rahbilai al-Amin ar-Rahman ar-Rahim manik yom edin. Iyaka na'aburu wa iyaka na'asta'in. Ithne sirato mustaqim. Sirato ladin inamta alihim. Viral magdubi alihim walidolin. Amen. Sassy refuge in Allah, rejected from rejected enemy. In the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, master of the day of judgment in which we now live. Thee alone do we serve and worship, thee alone do we serve. Show us the straight way. The way of those upon whom thou hast restored thy grace upon. Not those whom thy wrath has brought down, nor those who go astray. Amen. Amen. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio Show. As-salamu alaykum. Today is Tuesday, the 25th of July, the year of 2023. And this is the Blog Talk Radio Show where we are focusing on removing all images from worship that portray divine. Removal of all images from worship that betray divine, regardless to the color of the clay, white, brown, black, whatever. It is an image, and that is in the place of worship, and that's what we're trying to get done, get that removed. Because it is of no significance to see a statue in the home or the church or wherever that resembles a part of the worship and God. You have it that resembles God. Okay? We want to be able to tell our children to turn right and go straight. Just turn right and go straight. And that's what we visualize and not an image. We visualize the road that we have to travel on our way to the Jannah, inshallah. Turn right and keep straight. And we also have a second focus, the psychological effect of that image. And that it has on the minds of the world's children. Psychological effect that the image has on the minds of the world's children. Because we know that God, our Creator, is too big to be confined in an image. But we can find in anything when he was created and he created us. Okay. And he's sponsored, we have sponsorship. Sponsored by Sister Clara Muhammad STEM School. S is for science. T is for technology. E is for engineering. And M is for math. Okay, that's the Claire Muhammad STEM School. And to me, that's like explaining a certain part or different parts, explaining the Quran or explaining the religion of Islam, because it's not confined. And it does offer those particular subjects or speaks on those categories or topics throughout the Quran, what I just mentioned, which if we study it, we will be and pray for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the teachings and of what we get from that particular subject, removal of all images from divine, that worship, removal of all images that portray divine from worship. And we also have a second sponsor who is Brother Amin Muhammad out of California, out of Los Angeles, California, Brother Amin Muhammad. He's also co-sponsoring Sister Clara Muhammad STEM School. So that's what it's all about nowadays, brothers and sisters. And, you know, preach to the choir, those that already know, and those that already know teach to others. You know, there's nothing wrong with refreshing your mind, though. Nothing wrong with your memory being refreshed. And when you go over something you might have gone over before, and we all know that repetitious or repeating some things over and over and over again, that's how some people learn. And some people can just hear it one time. They can spell it. Can tell you how it works and how it's supposed to work. Okay? But we do it our way because we were taught this way by our leader and teacher, Imam Nabi Deen Muhammad. May Allah be pleased with him. Sniffles. So hot outside. It is 90 degrees outside here. And to go out and come back in, it's almost like you're glutton for punishment. And that you stay inside at all times until this heat wave blows over, because it can be dangerous now if you don't dress appropriately when you go out. Or even if you don't dress appropriately when you're in, because a lot of people are not fortunate to have fans, well, especially air conditioners. You may have some fans. So you have to be careful inside and out of doors during this type of weather. It's dangerous. It is dangerous. And I hear that it's going to get worse. The ozone level hole is bigger and bigger, which is causing the sun to be directly on us without being filtered. We know that a lot of people suffer from skin cancer because they don't put on sunscreen, which is to keep the radiation from the sun from blistering your skin and causing your skin to chafe. Okay, I don't know if it's the Sharifa. I don't see anybody on that. I don't see Brother Imam on, her husband. I don't see her on as yet, the Sharifa. So I really don't know if she wants to read or anything. This computer is already acting up. We just need a new computer, brothers. New computer, brothers and sisters. That's what we need, is a new computer. I've come to grips with that. So right now we cannot afford one, but we can start checking ourselves and seeing if we can put it on layaway and be able to have one that works well and does not freeze up on us or doesn't hang up on us or black out on us at different times. It'll just stay on. But alhamdulillah, we have this one. It has worked pretty good up this far. And we've had a little bit of challenges with it, but not many. But if Sister, I hope everybody's hearing me. Let me see something. Phone jumped off. Not the phone. Computer. Thank you. trying to get it back in me now. See who will tell me. See anybody on the line that would like to be brought into the queue. And like to read something for us pertaining to any of the interests that we have. And, you know, we try to keep it on those topics because it would help everyone. Topics like the virus, like the reparation, like what happened to like children, you know, and maltreatment of the children. So if you have anything you'd like to contribute toward those, either one of those, please push one on your receiver, phone receiver, and you'll be brought into the queue and your mic will be turned on. Please. And these things we're working on together now, you know. And we're not going to disrespect anybody and ask them to come on when their hand is not up. That will ask you to call the number 404-452-3312 when you're trying to get into the program. Well, when you dial into the program, your number, 515-602-9665, and you see that you cannot get in and on the studio, in the studio, in order to speak. I see we have somebody whose hand is up. I'd like to go in and get them first, I really do, and the reading, so that we can have some conversations on those things that you bring up, or that you inquire about. Okay, we have Brother Muhammad. Brother Muhammad.
Yes, I said I'm making where I do.
Alaykum as-salam. Are you hearing me well? I can hear you, but it's not okay. Hear you much better. Yes, sir. Nobody here. Welcome.
And I think you had said something about you'd like to read something before you open the line up, but I had already punched my one button. So I'll wait until you go ahead and do what you have to do, and you can bring me in later.
That was the first thing I had said, was there anybody like you that wanted to read something? If you'd like to read something or have some input, share with us, you can go right ahead, Brother Muhammad.
Oh, no, I didn't want to read anything. I had a question, but you go ahead and open up where you want to.
You go right ahead with the question, then. We can entertain the question first.
Yeah, about a week ago, I think you read something concerning laws that's on the books, federal government laws about reparations. I had never heard that before. I had heard no one else in our whole history had mentioned about those laws. And I think you said there was something that you feel our application.
Yes. Let me get it back.
Yes. So when you get opportunity, I'd like you, if you would read that again, because in a form that you could fill out to apply for reparations and to prove that you are... So when you get around to that again, because...
Okay, I'll be glad to do that.
All right.
Gonna get it up right now. Okay, we have... It'll be the exact spot. Keep adding something. Since then. Okay, anyway, it says that reparations program, and it's lettered capital C, F, capital F, capital T, capital C. Determine your eligibility. Choose the appropriate proceeding. Review the preparation, the reparations complaint checklist. Complete the online preparation. It says application. Applicant. Oh, my mother's so dry. Haven't been outside for a while. Drink a minute. The liquid season is getting dry. This is who I'm still eating. Okay, now. It says applicant qualifications for reparation, generation home purchase, reparative transfer. The reparation generation application is made available only on our website. The reparative transfer program is promoted through our website and social media platforms, as well as communications from local banks and the members of the Detroit Realist Association, affiliated member of the National Association of Real Estate Brokers. Okay. It says applicants, the reparation generation programs must meet all qualifications listed. However, if an application is jointly made, only one applicant needs to qualify. And then it has application requirements. And they are. You have nine of them, reparation requirements. Okay, number one, sign up through the Reparation Generation Application app. Sign up through the Reparation Generation Application app. Number two, be able to trace your heritage to Black Americans descended from slavery in the 48 contiguous U.S. Be able to trace your heritage to Black Americans descended from slavery in the 48 contiguous USA. 48 states contiguous USA, because that's what it means. Number three is provide a birth record that identifies you as Black American, African American, colored, or Negro as per U.S. Department of State and vital records language. Number four, have self-identified as Black American in the last U.S. Census. Have self-identified as Black American in the last U.S. Census. You know, those census, when they pass it around, they go around and want to know how many people live in the household and all that, school age and all the different categories like that. That's a part of it, too, that you should be aware of and up on, is have self-identified as Black American in the last 68 census. The last 68 census that was filled out, and you should have been on there, and Black American should have been marked by your race, creed, or color, or nationality. That's what I get out of that. Okay, number five. Participation in a six-hour housing counseling agency. Home buying support program provided by the National Association of Real Estate Brokers. And its letters are N, capital A, capital R, capital E, capital B. Greater Detroit Realist Association. That's what it stands for. Greater Detroit Realtist Association. And the training information for that. Okay, the training information for that. And it's also called, okay, participating in the 6-hour housing agency home buying support program provided by the National Association of Real Estate Brokers. Okay, this NAREB and Greater Detroit Realtist Association of the GDRA training information. Sign up link here. Sign up link is here where I'm reading from right now, which is the Reparation Generation. Okay. Now it says, purchase a home to be your primary residence in Metro Detroit, Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb counties. Agree to participate in Reparation Generation's ongoing evaluation process to help improve our project and its goals. Number 8, sign release of information disclosure document for a lender to share mortgage approval letter to third party. Third party is an accredited CPA firm in Detroit with a strong track record of working with high-profile clients to create a systematic and disciplined approach to evaluating and improving the effectiveness of risk management, control, and government's process. Okay, it's number 8. Number 9 is signed media release form link. Signed media release form link. We are asking the initial program participants to fill out our media release form to aid in our fundraising efforts for future reparative transfers. Exceptions will be made for extenuating circumstances. Application process is all applicants will be prepared using the Reparation Generation application. Number 2, all applications are on a first-come, first-served basis following verification of qualifications and completion of the home ownership training program. Number 3, if you qualify, you will receive a notification of approval with checklist of next steps. If all funds have been allocated, we will send you information about your name being placed on our wait list. Your application will be held in the order revived and notified if when the next round of funding is available. We will retain your name application for the next 6 months or unless you request removal. Reparation Generation, including its founders, directors, officers, employees, and agents, will not disclose confidential information belonging to or obtained through their affiliation with Reparation Generation, unless Reparation Generation has received authorities unless they have received, get this right there. I'm sorry. It says Reparation Generation, including its founders, directors, officers, employees, and agents, will not disclose confidential information belonging to or obtained through their affiliation with Reparation Generation unless Reparation Generation has received authorization by the applicant to disclose otherwise necessary to administer the Home Ownership Initiative Program or is required by law. Applications will be screened by a third party to ensure applicants meet all qualifying criteria. Applicant notifies lending institution / bank of or of RG. So the two letters, capital R, capital G, reparative transfer grant program participation, and sends lender the reparation generation official agreement letter. Preparative transfer. Skipped over. The applicant notification lending institution bank of RG, reparative transfer grant program participant, and sends lender the reparation generation official agreement letter. Reparative transfers are available to all qualified applicants based on available funding on a first-come, first-served basis become charged.
Okay.
It says applicants with incomes below 80% AMI is under that. And it says applicants with incomes between 81% and 119% AMI. Applicants with incomes above 120% AMI. And funding will be committed upon approval and will occur upon closing of escrow. If approved for preparative transfer grant, you will be required to fill out a W-9 form for tax purposes. Look for our future initiatives in education and business development. And this is preparation generation. Okay. Preparative transfer process. I'm reading here. So, see the plans of somebody. You might be able to read this to the last. I cannot handle that. Reading is too small for my glasses. Keep glasses.
Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. I was on mute, though. For a second, after I finished reading about the reparation and I had covered it, I mentioned to you and I asked you if your question was answered, because I just read it all. You said you hadn't heard of it before. So I just read it all. Did you get all the information?
Oh, yes, your question was answered. But it sounds like that was just pertaining to Detroit.
Yes,
it didn't say anything about any other parts of the state of America. It's in Detroit.
Uh huh. But the one I read before. You know, I guess from the same initials and places. You know, will have their own initials. Own names for the area where you would get, they'll need to get your information. They will have it. Just place that in the spots where Detroit is, and then you will check it out yourself to see if that particular thing still goes for all of the applications in every state. It requires,
I guess my question is, how will African Americans, Blacks, or Negroes, whatever name you use, how will the people get these applications?
Well, with that particular thing, what I just read, it tells you how to get the application. You would go to, let me get it back up. So with that particular, you can type out the same thing in your address graph on your computer in search, and then just put your state there. Reparation, preparation, and application, and put your state. And it'll give you the information that you need for that particular state. But if I had done that, I would have been asking for Georgia. But what's shown on the information that I got mine from, what the information I got mine from was from Detroit.
Oh, okay, give us that place that we go. Touch. Yes,
Pull it back up. Reparation and how to apply. Okay. It states application.
Mm-hmm.
First, okay, show results for reparation and how to apply. Yes. Okay. It says determine your eligibility. Okay. Reparation program. Reparations program. And it says capital C, capital F, capital T, capital C.
That's it. Slow. Capital C.
What'd you say?
Now say that slower. Give
me okay. Okay, these are capital letters.
Yes.
C, F, T, C. C is in Charlie. F is in Frank. T is in training. C is in center. Capital letters. C, F, T, C. So you would go to get in touch with determine your eligibility. Choose the appropriate mm-hmm. proceeding. Review the reparations complaint checklist, PDF files, and complete the online reparation.
Is that the same one that you read last week?
That's the same one. That's the only one that the first one I looked up. That CFTC stands for Commodity Futures Trading Commission or Commission. C for commodity, F for futures, T for trading, and C for commissioners. Also on the website is www.cftc.gov. Reparation.
Oh, okay, good. All right.
Reparation program.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I hope we can pass that information on to everyone, all African Americans, black people, Negroes, to everybody.
Right.
So they'll know. That's the first time I hear about a lot of people I've never heard that before, you know, so that's what I'm going to pass the word around. Thank you again.
You're welcome. Again. And it says a National African American Reparations Commission. These are all capitalized letters. NAARC. NAARC for the National African American Reparations Commission.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can also contact that because they have a primarily a 10-point reparation program, a document for review, revision, and adoption as a platform to guide the struggle for reparation. What did you say? Huh? What did you vote at? What did you say? Oh, excuse me. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, people also ask, what are the conditions for reparations? That's a question. And what is the process of reparations? And what is an example of reparations? And what are the five steps of reparations? And I can read them off to you if you like that, starting from the first one.
No, I wasn't taking any more time when you to read. I just let everyone go on the website. You know.
Okay. So you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you have the website, right?
Yes. That's CFTC. And the other one, NAARC.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate that for all
Welcome.
Of us.
My concern is, how could you be able to get these records that you need, tracing yourself back to, you know, slavery or family members of slaves, family members of slaves.
Yeah, how would you be able to trace that back? You got something there.
Okay. What are the conditions for reparations? Tells you that. And explored above, reparations include five key components. Cessation / assurance of non-repetition, restitution, and repatriation, repatriation, and compensation, satisfaction, and rehabilitation.
Hmm.
Supposedly, those are the five key components. Trying to make things so difficult. What is the process of reparation? Reparations are the act or process of making amends for a wrong, according to the United Nations. Adequate, effective, and prompt reparation is intended to promote justice by redressing gross violations of international human rights law or serious violations of international humanitarian law. And it has a website. When you put down on in your address or graph or your search preparations for reparation, then it'll come up, your website, because it seems like there are different ones in different parts. This has https://mfbl.org. And you'll have uploads on there. It says, what are reparations? M4BL, capital M, number 4, capital B, capital L. Then it says more
okay.
results. Okay.
Yeah, you did quite a bit of guidance to help us get to the website. And from then on, I guess you have to take some cells to do all the reading and everything that's there.
Uh-huh.
We appreciate you opening the door to us and how can we pass this information on to everyone. Everyone that we know, Muslims, Christians, everybody, African American, Black, Negro, whatever.
Right. Yeah, because you've got a lot of categories. Yeah, I mean, you could read, they have used the whole program to read all of the information that's on in this one that I'm reading. You know, got a lot of categories here. But it's very informative. I mean, once you finish reading it, you will know what to do and how to go about, you know, preparing for or information that you need to get in order to find out if you qualify or if you have information and find out where you get the information that you need. We're talking about going back to the family members that were slaves and if you've been included, your name in marked, I guess, Negro or African-American on this last year's census application. When they come around to do the census, we'll know if you had been, your name had been documented last year, you didn't just pick up a name, you know, or just get started with this. Anybody else has any other questions on reparation? I appreciate you asking now because the board is getting lit up here for people who may want to speak. Does anybody else want to speak on a reparation or from the Muslim Journal, the latest Muslim Journal? Does anybody know or have read about this heat? And why? No, that's a good question. You know, it's going to get hotter. It's a, it reminds me of what my grandma used to read as far as the Bible. It said the earth was, world was destroyed. The earth was destroyed before by water. But it's saying it won't be water. It'll be fire next time. And we took it that it'll be fire, meaning it's the brain, you know, how your brain is going to be burning from lack of understanding of what's really going on, you know, and not obtaining knowledge and wisdom that you need, you know, like false, excuse me, go ahead. What'd you say, brother?
Oh, yeah, I was saying that's made known in many of many programs about James Baldwin's book, The Fire Next Time. I think that was the name of it.
Oh, okay,
The Fire Next Time. I think that was James Baldwin. That was just, got that information during this Islam and even in the, it's mentioned in the book. Dr. Zakiya Muhammad, a mother, the mother of the nation. Yeah, he that book by James Baldwin, that was mentioned in her books too.
Okay.
Were you able to get those books?
No, I read what I read online. I don't get the physical books themselves, but I read what experts I can online and take it because the bookstore we used to have, Barnes & Noble, over here near us, they moved. So now we wouldn't have place. We'd have to find out where another Barnes & Noble is, but they do have, when you can pull up online or you can go to Amazon, which I don't deal with Amazon, my husband does. All kind of cars on Amazon, but you know, they sneak stuff in on you, on these bills, and then you have to get so many cars.
Yes, Amira in Chicago, she's distributing the book, both books.
Yeah, that's right. You did mention that. Sister Zelie said she was going to get hers. I'll probably get mine from her, from my sister Amira.
Yeah.
Lifeline, and then on Saturday, he'd give her number out. He'd give her telephone number out to get him. Yep.
Well, you've done your job. You brought us all this information, the reparations and all of that. So you definitely done your job. Now, have to rest us to do ours and go online. find out more.
That's right. Okay, we have another somebody who wants to speak. Brother I.B. wants to say something. Him in. I miss Dr. McCole. I'm late,
yeah,
Brother
I.B.
I'm
late. I'm glad you got Brother Muhammad Sharif on. I want to ask Brother Muhammad Sharif a question. What do you think? What do you think is the resistance to reparations that exists in our community? In our community, what is the main objection or resistance to reparations in our community? I'm asking Muhammad Sharif this question.
Okay. We hear Brother Muhammad Sharif, that question is directed to you.
Oh, yeah, I was on mute.
Oh, okay.
Now, basically, my answer would be that this is the first time that reparations have come up in our community. I'm saying the first time it wasn't mentioned, no time during the Nation of Islam from 1930 to 1975, it was never mentioned. And Imam Muhammad leadership from 1975 to 2008, it was never mentioned. So this is the first time, as I can remember, if anybody know anything different, the first time I heard reparations being mentioned in this community since 1930. I know somewhere where I have a picture of our different leaders go way back to Frederick Douglass and Booker T. Washington, George Washington Carver. I mean so many leaders, Dr. Martin Luther King. I see all these leaders in our community, African American leaders. No one mentioned that since 1930. This is the first time that it came up in the community among our people.
Mm-hmm.
The first time when you brought it up a few months ago. Had never been brought up in the community before. So I guess that's probably why this is people haven't heard of this, and they're probably saying, well, why none of our leaders mentioned this before? They were very wise people, Du Bois and George Washington Carver. I mean, so many people, and why they never mentioned this?
Uh-huh.
So maybe
uh-huh.
that's where the position's coming from. It's almost like a shock to the people. They never heard it before, so I guess that'll be my own answer.
You know,
I agree.
I read where Frederick Douglass, they was trying to say he objected to reparations. Frederick Douglass.
Mm-hmm.
He made the statement. He says, you know, he says them slaves, these people don't want to, you know, a mule. Acres and a mule, 40 acres and a mule. These people don't want that. And people was, you know, trying to wonder, what is he talking about? What is he talking about? And I'm just thinking, I thought about that because I read that a couple weeks ago or so. You know, it's probably the African-American free slaves. He knew it was more to life except just, you know what I mean, acres of land and tilling the land and that, you know, he knew it was education probably, you know what I mean? You know, because after all, it was a law against teaching us how to read. We better not be caught with a book. It might get sold down the river with a book, you know? So
mm-hmm.
Frederick Douglass was trying to say, hey, you know, just don't expect these people just to get a mule and some land. They want more. That's what I'm just saying this now. I'm just saying this. it kind of puzzled me why he would say that, why they use that as Frederick Douglass was against it, you know. And it must have been a good reason, you know. And Frederick Douglass knew, he taught himself how to read, you know. Well, I think the slave master's wife or something got him started,
right.
But after that, he was self-taught, wrote books, you know, and all that,
mm-hmm.
you know. So he knew it was more than life, except plowing and a mule and all that, you know. Maybe. I'm just guessing, you know. Go ahead.
So that's my question to you. Where did you get this information that Frederick Douglass said anything about reparation? Because we never heard
it. I'll find it and I'll share it with, you know, where I read that.
Okay.
Yeah, I find that. And then the other question I want to pose is, now the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that the former slave masters is obligated to give us so much land and enough for us to run the land and develop the land for 20 or 25 years. And also the Honorable Elijah Muhammad made a point to say, you know, we want fertile land, mineral rich and fertile land. And so my question is like, you don't consider that a form of reparations right there that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was, you know, petitioning for? That's my question.
That's your question to Brother Sharif, Brother Muhammad Sharif, or to anyone. Brother Muhammad?
Yeah. Oh, yes. So my answer would still be back to what I said before. Why nobody else mentioned reparations? Because last month, we know he said reparations to give us land and all of that. We know the land story about that. He said that was strategy. He knew that wasn't going to happen. They even fought and had a civil war about that among themselves. So he said Elijah Muhammad knew that was not going to happen. That was a strategy, a tactic that he put out there. But that wasn't going to happen. So seeing that the whole, all our leaders must agree with that too. And that's why none of them even spoke on it. Even up to that's where we had, what's his name? Dr. Martin Luther King,
mm-hmm.
two boys, yeah, even the last one, that last one we had, what's his name?
Obama.
Even President Obama, he never mentioned a thing like that. See, like, this is strange. It would have been strange in years, too. But he never mentioned that. And that's why I'm saying we come from the way back in the, up until recent, he never mentioned that. And even his wife, you know, she said, Michelle, she's an educated one, she never mentioned that. And what's the brother's name that they had a celebration in Georgia about him? Yeah, John Lewis. John Lewis comes from, he never mentioned that. So I'm saying, what's so strange about that? No, he didn't mention that.
Wow. It is something. It just got hot. I don't know why all of a sudden it just started to, I don't know what brought it out. But it leaked out some kind of way, and it started. I mean, like you said, I felt that Elijah Muhammad did, a lot of people did, in his own way, not directly, but indirectly, spoke on the reparation. You know, the way he said, some land to call our own. You know, we want to be separated, and we want to. He felt that we should be given some land to call our own, separated. Now, he didn't use the word
now, even what you read last week or so, and what you read tonight, Daya, all those people, why the leaders and everybody in Detroit, why there never nobody leaders, nobody even in Detroit mentioned this. This is on the books and everything, on the website. Why nobody even in Detroit say anything about this? This is just strange. I mean, it's strange.
That is true. That is true. Really is true. I see somebody else's hand. Maybe they have something to contribute to that, too. Were you finished?
Yeah.
Did you get your question answered?
I am.
Okay. Okay.
Right. Yeah, you know, good question. These are good questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Brother Suja or Sister Karan. The number is up. I'm trying to get it in here. Okay, Assalamualaikum. Assalamualaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam.
This is Karan. How you doing? You go right ahead with your question or input.
I just had one to elaborate on the question that was asked about. I think Brother Sheree was asking about what problems. To me, I like
what I mean. Hey.
Oh yeah.
What are some of the problems?
Oh.
In the community that they object reparations.
Oh, what are some of the problems that they object reparations? Oh. The one of the problems I know they're gonna have a problem with is identification, birth certificate. Because my grandfather, they didn't have birth certificates during that time, and we had to make up a birth certificate for him. So that was gonna be one of the problems right there, unless you file it under the Jim Crow law. Make sure you add the Jim Crow law in there. Because why would they object to it? I don't know anybody that would object to reparations because if they don't want it, they just give it to somebody else that do want it.
Yeah, we got a lot of noise on the line. Somebody might maybe open the
paper or something like that.
Yeah, they are. They're really busy with rattling paper or something. I was thinking it was on the outside where Brother Amin is. Maybe the people that are around. Okay, it's not. It stopped now.
Yeah,
it stopped. Walaikum assalam. Walaikum assalam.
This is from the information from the question that Brother Sharif is asking. They've been asking about reparations way back in the '30s, and that which the Army like Muhammad asked. Definitely with reparation, you know, about having acres of land and an area, you know, and that they should keep it up or pay for whatever needs to be done to the land. That was directly open. Asking for a reparation and telling the slave master that they owe us a debt. Reparation is repaying for the things that they taken from us and that they owe us, you know. So they've been asked. I mean most of all the American leaders. If you go back and check their presentation, they were asking for reparation.
But did they use the word reparation? Maybe it's the word that's got everybody thrown off. Did they use the word reparation?
I gave I call myself giving the meaning of reparation. It's paying for the debt that they owe.
Right,
you know,
but I'm talking about during those times since nobody else really seemed to have recognized it, you know, that it was reparation, even though it was talked about, like I mentioned, Army Elijah Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, spoke on the land to call our own, and we wanted to be separated. He was asking for land, but was the word itself preparation?
Reparation. We just have to go back and check out some of the times that they was talking about reparation, and we can find that out. But they've been asking about reparation. They've been demanding for reparation. This is back in the 30s.
They've been demanding for the word reparation. They used reparation, or did they say we need some land to call our own to separate us
well,
from?
I understand the technical aspect of it, but what I'm saying is that if you want to find that out,
I know how to find it out. Yeah, it was just mentioned, though, that the word was never mentioned. Nobody ever heard anybody mention it. So that's why he asked the question.
Yeah. But the objection, most of the people that object to it is people that I think been influenced by the slave master. Those are the ones that's objecting to it, the reparation, paying us the debt, giving us what they really gave to each other nationality. You know, I mean the Chinese, the Indians. You know, all these other people, you know, and we know that we should be owed more, you know, than what they repaid them with. The reason they gave them a land and stuff like that, you know, we were slaves.
Who's your?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm listening.
So this same conversation that we had some time ago, I go back to the original questions. We got all kind of leaders in this community from 1930 up until no leader, nobody mentioned reparations. And what Daya just read last week, I think, and what she read tonight, nobody has mentioned that. No congressman, no representative, no leaders in our community, Christian, John Martin Luther King, nobody mentioned that before. So if this on books now, and it's been there with Diane Desiree, how could all these people have missed that and then bring it up to the community?
What about 40 acres and a mule?
Oh, everybody, we all know about that 40 acres and a mule. Imam Muhammad told us.
I know, but you can't overlook that.
I'm not overlooking that. I'm just saying, how is it that we and all of us know more than all of our leaders, and they never mention this?
40 acres and a mule, Sharif.
That's not what Daya read. See what was on the website and what's there about the qualifications.
Each state, each city probably got their own idea of reparation.
Why nobody in Detroit, the one that
Daya read?
Nobody in Detroit, none of our leaders go for all, nobody in Detroit mentioned that. What's he
really saying? I don't know. I haven't did no research.
Yair did the research. And she brought it to us. She brought it to us. Yes, go ahead.
The Commission to Study and Develop Reparation Proposals for African Americans Act. The Commission to Study and Develop Reparations Proposal for African American Act is an act of Congress in the United States introduced in 1989 by Representative John Conyers. In 1989, the act aims to create a commission to examine the merits of introducing reparations to African Americans in U.S. slavery. So starting in 1989, Conyers brought that up each year in Congress. When Congress first started, he brings that act up, and he introduced it, and then nobody really acted on it. Each year, 1989, 1990, 91, 92, 93, 94, up until Representative Barbara Lee, a sister, she brought it up. And it passed. And the Congress of the United States has a mandate, to look into reparations and solve the problem and all like that, go into the history of abuse and slavery, Jim Crow, lynching, and all that, and bring out a report. Right. Now, they did that in California in 2021 under Gavin Newsom, a Caucasian. Gavin Newsom, and he gave them 2 years to come up with this study, and they brought it out just the other day, just a month or two ago. But no, Conyers had been bringing that up each year since 1989. Now, Muhammad Sharif, are you talking about before him, or is he good enough?
Well, no, I'm talking about before him and after him. Before him and after him. From 1975 until Imam passing, it was never mentioned by nobody. I mean, big people, all these citizens, all these states, all these representatives, all these leaders. Nobody mentioned that since during Imam Muhammad's leadership. Nobody mentioned. Why is this a pass-on law, which you just read there by Kanye? All of that. Why nobody followed up on that?
Okay. As-salamu alaykum. One reason why we haven't heard too much almost in 30 years about that, but we have to remember, for 30 years, they put crack in the neighborhood. That's the reason why you didn't hear it. That's why they put crack there. So if they cracked the grandma out, the aunties and the cousins and the uncles and all that, who going to give you the wisdom? Who going to tell you? They done cracked everybody out. We almost right back where we began. We right back where we started. So that's why we cannot let that happen again. We got to run the drug dealers out the neighborhood. Because
we
got something else now. They got something else now that you won't be, that has messed with your brain, our children's brain, they won't be able to think. That's what they got us all with the F. They won't be able to think anymore. I'm telling
but
you.
But we're not
so going to
be using
like
no drugs. We are believers. We're not going to use no drugs. We're going to be using no drugs. They didn't crack us out. We are still here from
1980.
Oh, yes,
we got some Muslim. We got some Muslim children. We got some Muslim children been affected, too. We got a lot of them. And they got some all up in the... And look, you know, let me finish talking. And they got, I know a mayor in California during time, he was out there on Skid Row trying to look for crack. So I'm telling
but
you, that stuff is affecting everybody.
We believers. We believers. We didn't get cracked out.
That's why our brother Hameen right now talking about it, bringing it up right now. So we didn't get it, but we was worried about our children. Which one you going to worry about? Trying to get the money or save your baby from falling.
Save your baby.
That's what I'm talking about. And that's what we was and that's the half of the time we was concentrating on and try to save our children. Because believe me, what you gonna do with all that money if they all cracked out? What they gonna do with it?
But we're not by cracked out. They had, look at here, sister, what you said. They had crack when we came into the community and became Muslim. They didn't crack us out and we are still here. And they're not going to crack us out this time. So crack don't, we don't be able to excuse me about crack. We're not going to use no crack. So I don't care how much they drink in here, we're not going to be using no crack, no alcohol, no funny. We're not going to use any of that stuff. So we don't care about those words.
The question was, is why we didn't hear it all during that time.
Let me say this. You know, Dr. King, and I'll find that quote. You can find that quote where Dr. King, he just made one statement. He said, when I go to Washington, I'm gonna go to Washington to get a check from them, and they don't make a big to do out of that when he said that. But I think Dr. King was talking about some type of restitution or compensation or reparations. I think Dr. King was starting to think differently right before they killed him. About justice. You know, there's more. There's more to it than just to get our rights to vote and integrate, but also some type of justice for us getting on our feet as a people. Yeah. And he says in his talk, he says, "I'm Rakhassalam."
Yeah, I only thing I was just gonna say was that Muhammad got our mind thinking. He asked a good question.
Yeah.
He's making us to get on the case of what we're doing with reparation, and have more knowledge of it, and that's the way I'm looking for it. And I appreciate it. I appreciate it, and I am going to go and do some more research on it, and bring it back. Bring it back to the blog talk, you know. So I don't want Brother Muhammad to think that wasn't no good question. That's a good question. That got us thinking, you know, and we should have been qualified to answer it quicker. You know, I think we all, like Sister Dahir, went and got that information that she got out of Detroit. That was good. You know,
that was good. And, right.
Yes. So alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. It's gonna come to us, and we're gonna be able to deal with anybody. You know.
Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, it'll work out just like that. That's what we pray for. Maybe we can all get a clear understanding.
We may have to go direct now, not around the bush. We have to go direct now to the leaders in Detroit. What do you know about this? That's on the books about what's in Detroit, on the website and everything. Right, the resident names there, whoever, or the treasurer, whoever runs the Detroit Muslim, what do you know about this and why you haven't brought it to our attention?
Because, you know, we can ask that question because it's a possibility they could have brought it to our attention, but just in so many other different words, you know, and in other so many different ways. You know, they might have could have mentioned it, and where it just went on over our heads, you know, like water rolling off a duck's back, you know, and we into some other stuff until we just didn't grasp it that way as far as its importance, you know. And it was very important.
Alhamdulillah.
Yep, so that's a good conversation right there. It's a very good conversation. Now, is anybody else? Reparation, yeah, there's something else. But I was just wondering myself now, they're talking about you having to know, and I think somewhere I do remember, but they said you have to know if you
were a part of a family that had been in slavery. They had actually been in slavery, you know, to and
I'm a Haley.
Huh?
I'm a Haley. I'm a Haley, H-A-L-E-Y.
Are you talking about Alex Haley's the roots?
I heard that he had did some research, but also my son went and did some research. He did some good research. I think he did it on his mother's side, you know. My daughter is going to do it on my side, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Catherine was a Simmon. Simmon. You know, so all that information is available. All that information is available. This guy named, I can't use the name, is Gates. Gates. He was doing a whole lot of TV programs and talking with people about the research that they did, in reference to slavery, the slave master, you know, the last name, and all that,
mm-hmm.
you know. He did some real good research. So, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah. Well, since people, it's out there now, all hands on the table, you know, everything's out in the open just about, you know, so everybody's starting to pick and get information and look it up and all that, reading books.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah, happy about that. Yeah, that's right. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Sister Sharifa, did you have anything that you wanted to read to us on education? Because this reparation can take up the whole program and some.
Yeah, you're right there.
And it's worth it. I'm not saying it's not worth it.
Reparation and image in religion. The imam said the image in religion is the most important one. That's what the imam said. And I think reparation is coming right there with us, the second, mm-hmm. second in line.
Mm-hmm.
Reparation.
Well, all that stems, it's like all of that stems together, all of that go together, reparation and slavery, and the removal of racial images, the removal of, all of that. One is a physical, like the slavery, well, physical and mentally, but more a physical, but then in the right. other, it was the image is mental. They took the shackle off of our ankles and feet and put it on our brain.
and also they hooked it up with religion. They hooked it up with God. So that was the imam said that was the worst thing you can do.
Yeah,
is have a human being as an image.
Blaspheming.
That's
what you want. You know.
Yep.
Blaspheming, that's right. Yeah. Now, you know, when the ma'am came in, okay, go ahead, excuse me.
No, I'm just going to ask you, did Sister Rita have anything she wanted to bring to our attention as far as the reading is concerned, educational, anything, so the children, that's all.
Yes, she's been pretty busy for the last couple of hours or so on a number of things, so I would say if she wants to say anything, you know, going on her phone, because I got my phone and you saw you mine now.
Okay. Well, okay, just ask her then. You know, you can find out from me if she has anything.
You have any more, Risha? No, she says you don't have anything to read.
Okay. Let's see if we can.
I can. The imam said that that nobody since Prophet Muhammad have ever done anything that is more important in religion.
Right. The image, yes, I remember.
Than removing all racial images from worship. Nobody. He said, whether you realize it or not, you would support my call to have racial images removed from the worship of God or doing something more important than anything anyone has done since Prophet Muhammad.
Yep.
So, you know, he put that out, and that was strong. And we were moving on that image. We moved on that image, you know.
Yeah. Set some flames.
Yes. And one of the things we did during the Dawah in reference to the image and the book as the light shines from the east, even to the west, you know. Yeah, we were selling those. We used those to teach out on the street. Nobody did that but us. Out on the street. We taught and we sold those books by teaching out of it. You know, we had cases of them out with us, you know, and the people was buying them. We were so effective and selling those books, and plus the imams, they wasn't selling his book. And that was an important book that the imam wasn't even put out. We were selling them so good and so heavy. The imam found out that we was doing that, and he set up a special meeting for us, the brothers that was doing the dawah out there. He set up a meeting on a regular basis for us there in Chicago. That's how special that was.
Yeah, that's another thing. Okay.
In reference to the book, Brother Jihad has been reading from the book all week, The Light Shine from the East.
Right.
Now on page, this got my attention when the first time I read as soon as it came out. On page 35, it says, the following is a collection of edited speeches. No, that's not the one. No, when the man spoke to the group called, I think that was page, I thought I had them out, 25. When he spoke to the national, here it is. This on page 9 in the book. Evolution of Nation Islam. This is a speech delivered by the American Academy of Religion, November 19, 1978 in New Orleans. And that's when the man spoke to this prestigious educated group of people called the American Academy of Religion.
Mm-hmm.
1978, November 1978.
Yeah.
And the man told them about what we had been taught. He told them about the Farad Muhammad when he talked about this big head scientist that were playing with two pieces of steel and how that. He told the people all about that. I guess that's the first thing he said, because they were watching him at home from the time he was born. Mm-hmm. I guess they said, how in the world are you going to turn those people around for believing that? He's talking to these wise people, and they're talking about Farrar's history and how we grafted them from the black man to the yellow man to the brown man to the white man, how we overtook God and we grafted a white man from the black man. Man, the man, uh-huh. went to all that. When you guys got a chance, go back and read that section, Evolution of Nation Islam. Mm-hmm. Now speaking to that American cattle religion. Because when I read it this great time myself, I said, how in the world are you going to turn us around if we believe that for 40 years, how we grafted the white man from the black man?
But it's so easy to see nowadays, how that happened. The big head scientist, Yaqub, was the one who was pricking the brain, the heads of the people, of the women when they were pregnant with the African-American women mainly, when they were with a slave love, when they were pregnant, you know. And when the baby was time for the baby to be born, time the baby, they called it capture, time it shows the top of his head, and it showed that it was, you know, like black or African American. He would prick that mold part of the baby's head that came out first, and the baby would die. So that's dying out the African Americans in slavery, you know. But if it was a mixed like baby, a lighter skin baby, then it would live. He would let it live. And if the mother was alive, she wouldn't be there.
Yes, ma'am. I just got to say this, is that most all those stories was allegorical.
Not that one.
The point that I'm making is that that didn't really happen.
Oh, yes, it did.
That wasn't real.
Yes, it did. Well, he was a big head scientist.
You talk to any Muslim, you talk to anybody that studied the imam, and any of the imams that studied the imam, his allegorical and the information that he was given, and Master Farrar Muhammad, they'll let you know the majority of that wasn't real. That was psychology. But you could take it for real. It wasn't for real.
Well, I'm gonna have to pull that up then. I'm sure I have to pull that up because that's how they were trying to weed out the dark skinned people and trying to have all lighter skinned people, like, you know, the Caucasians, because that's what he was doing.
Yeah, that also a saying is that each one of this that we all came from Adam. That's the first thing. We all came from Adam, and how the lighter skinned peoples light because they was raised up in
certain
in
part of the country, certain part of the world, right?
In a certain part of the world, and people that the dog was raised up in a certain part of the world.
That's right.
So the argument was strong. Only like Muhammad put forth to some of the wisest people here in America that to prove that all color came from black. He said that you can get each one of the colors of the nationality out of black. But you can't get, and that's including white. But the white, the so-called white man, he only can get white from white. So that right there, that sort of hung him up. That's what the Amulet Muhammad took to some of their intelligent peoples and they can handle that argument.
Well, you know, that's got to do with genes too. People know about genes too. See, that's why you get albinos out of the genes of the people. You know, X chromosomes and Y chromosomes, and the dominant and the predominant genes.
The way we can get to go to the truth on where we came from and who we are, we can go to the Quran. That's our book. Allah said in the Quran that He is the one that made each one of us different. Not through Yahweh. Allah said He made us different, and the reason that He made us different, so we can learn from each other and know each other.
Right.
You know. But we know that there's no superiority over white or over black. Elijah Muhammad was establishing the psychology that Master Muhammad used in trying to prove that black was superior, you know, and that white wasn't superior.
That was a psychological thing.
That was the argument that they used back then. Malcolm was a master with it. Malcolm was a user. And so what I'm saying is that the mothership and all that other stuff,
I talk about that mothership, I got scared.
I used to believe a little bit. I used to believe that there was some science.
Can you believe some children with little squinty eyes are going to be driving a plane over our heads and going to know exactly where to land, and they little children and with squinty eyes? I guess this will be Oriental, you know, like Chinese or whatever, I guess.
Yeah.
But I said, oh, they used to scare me, yeah.
I used to argue with brother in the community and told him about God. I told him I got God in my pocket. I can show you God.
I have a picture in my pocket too. But I wouldn't tell nobody. I had God in my pocket. I never told nobody that. I had more sense than that.
My thing was to prove what I had was right. You know, and a whole lot of them submit to it, but some of them just didn't say nothing.
They said nothing, that's right.
Yeah, they didn't say nothing. You know, so but we had Mahfarah Muhammad. He did a masterful job, bro. That's when the imam, every time he taught us a little something about Mahfarah Muhammad, because he passed it on to the army like Muhammad. Army like Muhammad brought it to us the best that he could, and many of us was believing. I seen a program that was on YouTube Jennings. With Jennings, he beat the hell out of some Nation Islam brothers. You know, they were trying to prove that the Creator Allah was created out of triple darkness. it came out of triple darkness.
That's awful.
Jenna ate him up alive. And his last point was that if darkness, if God came from darkness, then darkness is God.
Lord. Well, you know where that triple darkness came from, the different stages of birth when the child is dead. reaching from one stage of pregnancy to the next stage of pregnancy and stuff like that. Triple darkness when they're first, you know. And that's
the
psychology.
So it's triple darkness does exist, But we had these brothers that came on television was going to try to prove and show that Allah was created from triple darkness. Let me let you know what Geno Jennings is saying. He's saying that God is spirit.
It's spirit.
He's saying that the spirit. Yeah, God is spirit.
Uh huh.
He said that's God.
Mm-hmm.
God is created from spirit. That's what Geno Jennings is. That's what he teaches.
I used to hear somebody who Brother Tommy used to say you worship God in spirit and truth.
Yeah.
Oh, used to be on Dawa with Akbar. Remember him, Brother Tommy?
Oh yeah. I'm doing that. Yeah, I know, Brother Tom. Yeah. and see, we have the ability to prove truth where they can't prove a lie. We have the ability to prove truth with the creation. That's what Allah gave us. And that's what the Imam made us understand, that we can use creation to prove truth. And that's what we use. We use truth, you know. And Allah says, if there's any other truth than his truth. There's no other truth than Allah's truth.
Right.
You know. But when they say that we say that that's a lie. That God is not a spirit, you know, and ask them to prove that God is a spirit, they can't prove that. Because we can show them where a spirit can be contained. And we can show them that there's good spirit and bad spirit.
Yeah.
You know. And remember, the Imam told us that he taught us that that everything that you see in creation is a word.
He said a word
is anything that brings a picture to your mind through your five senses. You know, so if I said wind, it should bring a picture to your mind. If I said water, it should bring a picture to your mind. If I said spirit, that should bring a picture to your mind. You know, through one of your senses. You know, but what the Imam taught us, he said that there's nothing in creation that can bring a picture to your mind that would describe God.
That's right.
If I said God, no picture should come to your mind.
Right.
Because God is not like nothing in creation. There's nothing in creation that can, no word that you can use to make me see God.
Right.
Yeah. So we got a strong argument.
We got to have some proof from our Quran about that argument too. And what Imam said, that did you also remember the part where we were told that everything on this earth is just an illusion?
Yes, that's right.
Everything on the earth is an illusion.
Illusion.
Yeah, that's what
it's not really real. It's an illusion.
Not really real.
It's not permanent. It's not permanent.
It's not.
And everything on earth is dependent.
It's
everything on earth is dependent.
Well, yeah, the only something that's not dependent is Allah. Everybody is everything.
Yeah, so I'm saying that to say you're right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, I hear you.
Is it
okay. Yeah, that's it. I remember that
it's
well.
And so we got an argument. That's what I'm saying. You just brought in something else that can prove.
I happen to remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that anything that you use, anything that you have creation, you say that's God, you know. We can prove that that's just an illusion.
That's right.
Yeah. So they don't, you got many intelligent Caucasians that you can approach, that you can talk to them with that type of sign. They going to submit. They go. I mean, you ask Agba. I have talked to some Caucasians where they hear the truth, and we brought some logic to them, and they don't say nothing now. They don't say nothing. They won't argue against it.
It's like fire under their feet. They can't stand it.
Yeah, they submit. I'm just loving.
Oh, yeah. They have to. They have to submit to the truth.
You remember that. And now introduce us to the folklore.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Don't
forget that. And a lot among us did not embrace the folklore.
No,
any among us did not embrace the folklore. We
That's
were
right.
in the house. We were in the house. And a lot of things we said, we could not go to a person's house and talks on the thing that we're sending. Ma'am didn't do that.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
And they are the people we can learn from them.
Yes.
Yeah,
the main thing they teach is love. Main thing they teach is love.
That's what the man with that. Yeah, that's what the man told when he introduced us to the folklore. He said they have some that we lost.
Yeah.
What was that? He said love.
Love.
He said, "Some that we lost and never loved.
Yeah.
But we had love before during Nation Islam before, but we lost it.
Yeah.
And the man introduced us to those people. They have some that we lost.
That's true.
Yeah.
Too. That's
and,
very true.
And one thing we had to always remember though is that we, the community of Imam Muhammad." Always got something to contribute. We can learn something from other folks. You know, we can sit down to the table and discuss things, but we got something to contribute.
But they can learn something greater from us.
Salam alaikum.
Well, you know, you can say great. I wouldn't use that term. You know.
Well, okay.
It could be a little bit
boastful,
yeah.
But.
Yeah.
But it's like you said, that we can learn something from them, but they can learn much more from us. They can learn, yeah, because we know the main emphasis and the point that they have, you know, but we got so many areas that we can cover with all of them, really, the Quran, because it teaches STEM school. I mean, it just teaches everything. I mean, that's El Islam itself. I say the STEM school, STEM.
Yeah.
So that means they learn something greater than from us. Go ahead, Quran. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, what I wanted to say is about when you were speaking of illusion. What I understood about that, it was written that the only color that the eyes could see is green, and everything else is an mm-hmm. illusion. That's what I want to say. And then one day I went outside.
Ooh, tell me
really
where you got that from. I want to look that one up. Tell me where you got
that
from.
Well, I heard that the Imam had said it, then it is written. I have to find it. But it, and I went outside. I went outside, you know, because when there's no moon and no sun, no moon shining or nothing like that, and that's all you could see green. You don't see no other color. And when you get real dark,
really?
dark, you ain't going to see no other color. Yeah. You don't see the color. Mm. So all the other colors is illusion, because you make those colors too. You make them. That's the only color you can see, your eyes can see, is green. And then I understand. Mm-hmm. And then I said, oh, then I understand. They said, why is Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that his favorite color is green?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we were
proud of
Alpha
Lion. There used to be the MGT colors too, green and white. Yeah.
Green and
white.
One thing.
You know what, too? There's a discovery. There's a discovery that's out they came out with. There's some part of the country, all the water turned green.
Yeah.
All of the water is turning green.
They're going to take us off. They're going to take us off. Going to take him out. I mean, off, too, if we keep violating the time. It's 6 after 9 now.
Oh, brother Memo. Brother, I keep calling him Memo. Brother Amin always said, we got a little bit... Okay, we can go on. Things just got so interesting, you know.
Okay, well, I'm going to go and say, I'm going to get off, y'all.
Well, you can go on and you can close us out then, Brother Muhammad. Close us out. Yes, sir.
Bismillah ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Rahman ar-Rahim. Aliki Yawm al-Din. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. Adina Surat al-Muttaqin, Surat al-Adina al-Amtu alayhim, Gavri al-Makdubi alayhim, wal-adorin. Ameen.
Ameen. As-salamu
alaykum. Alaykum. Thank you all. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Allah.
And be safe.
Ameen.
Okay.